And our rural reporter, Sally Murphy, joins us from Ōtautahi with the rural news. Kia ora, Sally, and two wool companies are hoping to shake up the sector.
Kia ora, that's right. Wools of New Zealand and Primary Wool Cooperative are proposing to merge together. The companies announced the move to their 2,100 farmer owners today, who will vote on the merger in November. Strong wool prices have been depressed in recent years, with the price sometimes not meeting the cost of shearing the sheep. Chair of Wools of New Zealand, James Parsons, says creating one larger company will give a stronger voice for farmers.
By bringing the increased volume that the CPW business provides with the marketing and export expertise that we have at Wools New Zealand, plus selling consumer branded products, that there's actually just some really good synergies. And we, ironically, we often have some common shareholders as well amongst the growers, so shareholders in both entities.
Mr. Parsons says prices are slowly rising, but farmers are still making little returns on wool.
It's incredibly depressed, and as an industry, and there are, you know, farmers, growers are actually looking for hope and struggling to find it. And so we've been working away, very cognizant of that as growers ourselves, but sitting around the board table with the management team, looking at how we can turn things around. And so we're very deliberate about not wanting to overpromise. I think a lot of growers out there have heard far too many promises that haven't been delivered on. So finally, we've got something we can announce.
Mr. Parsons says if farmers vote for the proposed merger in November, it would happen relatively quickly. Salmon anglers are welcoming a move by Fish and Game to reduce catch limits in a bid to help fish stocks recover. From the new season in October, Canterbury anglers will only be able to catch 2 sea-run salmon per season rather than 2 a day. The wild sea-run salmon fishery in the region has been in decline for over 20 years. Salmon Anglers Association President Larry Burke says some anglers aren't happy with the move, but it needs to happen. He says as well as the new limit, farmers need to upgrade the fish screens on their irrigation intakes.
Each irrigation intake has to have a fish screen which stops the small fish, both native and sports fish, from going down the irrigation raceways. Currently there are 900 in Canterbury, and from ECANS looking at them, not one of them works effectively.
Why don't they work?
The flow's too strong or not enough, or the screens, gaps in the mesh are too big, or it sucks the fish onto them and they die. They're meant to have a bypass on them which puts the small fish back into the river, but most of them go into dry riverbeds, and so you lose the fish.
Larry Burke says they should be able to see in the next year or two if the new limit is working. New Zealand's largest livestock genetics company says a push to farm cows with a lower environmental footprint has helped its profitability. The farmer-owned co-op Livestock Improvement Corporation's full-year profit has risen by nearly a third to just under $23 million. Company chair Murray King says farmers are spending twice as much on top genetics to meet climate goals than 3 years ago. He says with pressure to reduce cow numbers, each one needs to perform better.
If you look at the industry now compared to what it was 10 or 20 years ago, it's quite different. And we went through a period of really strong cow growth for 20-odd years, where year on year, you know, another 100,000 cows per year were being generated, so a cow was a cow. Now that we haven't got that ability to keep increasing because of the pressures of environmental constraints around nitrogen or greenhouse gases, farmers are saying, well, let's just focus on the cows that we have, make sure they're the right ones and make sure they're better. So if you can breed an animal which is going to generate less waste, whether it be nitrogen or methane, that's going to be a good thing.
Murray King says there's been increased demand for bulls that express A2 milk, and he says more farmers are opting to select semen that guarantees a heifer calf. 3 times the number of sexed semen straws were sold in the past year compared to the one before.
Farmers are saying, actually, I'm trying to reduce the number of bobby calves, so what I'll do is I'll make my very best cows to sex semen to guarantee a heifer calf, and the others can be made into a beef bull, which will generate something for the beef industry, which is going to be a more valuable calf than the one that goes to slaughter at 4 days.
LIC Chair Murray King. Time now for the latest from the sale yards around the country. To tell us more, we're joined by Suze Bremner, a senior analyst at AgriHQ. Hi, Suze. What's been going on this week?
Hi, Sally. Well, it certainly had a bit of a spring feel here in Hawke's Bay, though some of the sales in other areas have been held in some pretty wet and cold conditions. Despite that, the sale yards have been busy, and of course we're at the end of the school holidays, and a big feature at sale yards has been kids tagging along with mum or dad for a day off the farm. But the stock is what listeners want to know about, and it's been a week of positives. So the last 2 weeks has seen store lamb prices come off those highs that we saw in early July, but this week prices did rebound a bit at the North Island yards. Tallies are falling away, and at Stortford Lodge, good ewe lambs lifted to around $150 to $162, and males, good males, were around $170.
And what's happening with South Island store lambs?
Well, at Temuka, they had some real weight in their pens as returns at auction have been good, if not a little bit better than at the processors, so that margin has closed significantly. The average weight over 6,000 lambs at Temuka was 38 kilos, and the average price was $152. Other yards offered up smaller tallies, but Colgate had a really strong sale on short-term lambs, and those made $130 to $149.
And what about cattle?
Well, the store cattle market is still tracking a few weeks ahead of itself than where it typically would be. This time of year can be really quiet, but for varying reasons, good quality cattle and decent lines are already coming out, and the buyers are there to meet them. Temuka had a great sale yesterday. R2 traditional steers averaged $3.01 a kilo, and heifers were $2.84 a kilo. Younger cattle are still meeting limited interest, as these really need that grass market to bring buyers in, but anything short-term and of quality has been chased. Prime and older store steers are hovering around $3 per kilo, if not higher, and that looks set to continue.
Thanks for the update, Suze. That's Suze Bremner from AgriHQ.